Willow Park Church Seasons Podcast. During our time together this Advent, hope that you can stop, reflect, and think on the goodness of God on our journey to Bethlehem as we anticipate the coming King, Jesus Christ. Today is Thursday, the 22nd of December, and the 26th day of Advent. Today, we continue our journey to Christmas Day through the book of Luke by looking at the life of John the Baptist, one that was marked with humility in his place in history, as well as adulation for the message of the coming kingdom of God. First, the country priest Zechariah encountered an angel while offering incense in the temple. Then his long barren wife was found to be with child. Now, upon the birth of that child, and after 9 months of enforced silence, the mute priest speaks for the first time. It is clear to the people that knew the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth that this child will have some sort of important role in the story that is unfolding before them, but they couldn't know how important he would be. Let's jump ahead about 30 years and try to answer their question. What John did not become is what most people would have expected. He did not become a priest like his father. Instead of following Zechariah into the priesthood, John retreated into the wilderness. Luke says it like this: "The child grew and became strong in spirit, and was in the wilderness until the day he publicly appeared to Israel." At some point, maybe in his teen years, John left his home and began to live a rugged Judean wilderness life. We don't know why he left his home, or when he left his home, or who he lived with. But what we do know is what Luke tells us, that John lived in the wilderness and became spiritually strong until he began to preach and baptize at the Jordan River in the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius. John was the prophet who, as the angel Gabriel told Zechariah, would come in the spirit and power of Elijah. But John was more than a prophet. He was the forerunner told by Isaiah and Malachi. It was his prophetic task to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John did this by preaching a message of repentance and baptizing those who did so. Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 57 to 66, the birth of John the Baptist. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made a sign to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. Looking ahead 30 years, John's sermons were filled with themes of justice, calling the rich to share their wealth and the police to stop employing violent tactics of intimidation. John's preaching was wildly popular with the masses and drew huge crowds from Jerusalem. But predictably, John's message had little or no effect on the temple establishment. The apex of John's meteoric ministry was to baptize Jesus. Once that was accomplished, the crowds began to leave John and follow Jesus instead. John the Baptist took his diminished role with humility and grace, telling his disciples, "He must increase, but I must decrease." A few months after he had baptized Jesus, John was arrested by Herod, and not long after that, he was executed. Jesus himself delivered John's eulogy in advance, saying, "Among those born of women, no one is greater than John. Yet the least of the kingdom of God is greater than he." Jesus was indicating that John was the culmination of an era that began with Abraham. But now, a new age was dawning with the coming of the Son of Man. In today's reading, we see an abundance of humility. Zechariah and Elizabeth's willingness to lay down their naming rights for their son, and John's willingness to decrease in importance shows an unusual humility. John shows us that the ultimate message of Christ reaching those who are hurting is more important than any accolades that we receive here on earth. In today's second reading, I want us to look at the ultimate display of humility shown to us by Jesus. When in John's Gospel, chapter 13, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. While we read this, place yourself in the room. Perhaps you, yourself, have your feet washed by Jesus. What are the feelings that you have? Do you relate well to Peter? What's it like having Jesus, King of Kings, Creator of all, take on the role of a servant and wash your feet? It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When they had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and because of that, Jesus got up, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water in a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. Just as Jesus, God in flesh, is willing to serve, so then should we be willing to serve. As we finish today, let's take a moment to ask God how we can best serve like Jesus served, loving the unloved, caring for those in need, and bringing hope to people who have no hope this Christmas and far beyond. O God, help us to follow in the footsteps of the prophetic forerunner John by continually saying of our Lord Jesus Christ, He must increase, but I must decrease. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.